Good afternoon, and welcome to the 2015 Retail Marketing Virtual Conference and Expo. I'm Joe Keenan, Executive Editor of Total Retail. I'm pleased to welcome you to this session, The Great Mobile Debate, Mobile Site versus Apps versus Responsive Design. This session is sponsored by Acton Software, a leading provider of cloud-based integrated marketing automation software. With mobile commerce having fully arrived, retailers are scrambling to offer a seamless, hassle-free shopping experience for smartphone users. Knowing you have to have a mobile presence is one thing. Executing on that strategy is a whole other matter. To help you plan and execute on your mobile strategy, be it a mobile-optimized site, mobile apps, or a responsive design template, we have three mobile experts to offer their insights and advice. I'm joined today by Joe Crowley, Vice President of Marketing at Total Gym Fitness, a retailer of home gyms, exercise machines, and equipment; Hillary Spencer, Director of Product Management at Ideal, a flash sales online retailer of fashion apparel and accessories; and Samantha Lee, Senior Director of E-commerce and Customer Experience at Beebe, an omnichannel retailer of women's apparel and accessories. Before we get started, let me take a second to point out the Tips for Attendees widget on your console. It's the blue button with the wrench on it. If you missed the Tech Tips video we played leading up to this session, you can always click this widget for more information. I'd also encourage you to tweet throughout this session using the hashtag RMV15. With that, I'd like to welcome Joe Crowley to get us started.
Thank you, Joe. Very pleased to be here. As Joe said, my name is Joe Crowley. I'm Vice President of Marketing at Total Gym Fitness. Just wanted to give a brief background about the Total Gym brand to set the stage. The Total Gym brand is the TV infomercial with Chuck Norris and Christie Brinkley. It's been running on TV continuously since 1996. That's over 950 weeks for anyone that's counting. Total Gym started out as an infomercial product, but has transcended and developed into a respected fitness brand that millions of people work out and rehab on every year. I've been personally involved with Total Gym since its launch into the consumer home market in 1996, and have seen it transform from its infancy as a single-channel DRTV brand into an omni-channel brand now in a mature phase of its product life cycle. The question why the focus on mobile for Total Gym is a important one for us to dive into today. We started seeing, as many businesses did, more traffic coming to our desktop site on smartphones, and that trend was growing. And what we were seeing with the smartphone traffic, the conversion rates were very low. And we had experienced a similar shift years earlier in our business between the phones and the web when we started seeing fewer people calling in from our TV infomercial, more people going to our website. Similar scenario, the website traffic didn't convert as high as the phone traffic or phone activity. And so we knew when we started seeing this shift with smartphone traffic that we needed to address it and take advantage of this opportunity as we had done years earlier with the traffic coming to our desktop website. The desktop to mobile shift presented an opportunity but also a challenge as it converted at about one-third the rate of the desktop traffic. Due to the nature of our advertising on TV, our business lends itself to second screen, and so we expected to see, once we started seeing this trend, we expected the desktop to mobile shift to continue. And, you know, consumers are sitting on their sofas in their living rooms. They see our TV infomercial, grab the closest device to them, which is increasingly a smartphone, to learn more about Total Gym and start the research. And so we recognize that we want every touch point a consumer has with our brand to be a positive and informative one. We felt if we could provide smartphone visitors with a better, more impactful user experience, it would translate to higher conversions. Around this same time, we had launched a mobile paid search campaign, and the results confirmed for us the direction we needed to proceed in. The mobile paid search campaign, immediately upon being launched, produced some of our best ROIs on any of our paid search campaigns. It answered the question for us, yes, consumers are willing to purchase a piece of high-end fitness equipment on their smartphone, as our average order value at the time was about $850. After researching different options, the solution we settled on was to create a separate mobile website to drive smartphone traffic to. We built and launched our Total Gym Direct mobile site 4 years ago now. And our initial approach with the mobile site was to continuously test and optimize the site and the user experience, as well as to gather data and learn what appealed, what moved the needle for that mobile website visitor. About 2 years ago, then, we decided to expand what we were doing on mobile, and we partnered with our desktop engagement partner, Touch Commerce, as we did not have a real-time engagement capability on our mobile website up to that point. We knew from working with Touch Commerce on our successful desktop engagement program that they had the technology and expertise to create a customized mobile engagement program, and we were continuing to see our mobile site traffic grow each year quite significantly. And with that, the importance of increasing our mobile conversion became a higher and higher priority for us as a company. So we started by adding live chat to our mobile site, and we tested with Touch Commerce all elements that would influence interactions and conversions, the chat window size, the placement, the design. From a design standpoint, what tested the best was the transparent background that's on the slide right now. We also worked on things that made the user experience customized to the smartphone user, the ability to minimize the chat window, a prominent menu bar, the look and size of the chat bubbles. All these optimizations helped to increase the conversion by 2.5 times as compared to the basic chat window that we had started with. So we knew we were headed down the right direction, but we still felt like we had a lot of work to do. One of the things we looked at next was something that we had good experience with on our desktop site, and that was an automated product guide. So we decided to test that with Touch Commerce on our mobile site versus live chat, as our live chat interaction rates were low, and we were looking for ways to improve the overall mobile interaction rate. So just a brief explanation on an automated product guide. It's a short survey that the customer completes, and at the end of the survey, based on their responses, they receive a product recommendation. For most customers, we find they go through our guide in less than a minute, as they just need to tap a radio button or a checkbox on each slide. So it's a very intuitive, easy experience on a mobile phone. The goals of this test were twofold: one, to increase interaction rate, and two, to increase conversion rates. Our experience with our online engagement had been we first needed to get mobile site visitors interacting with us, and then once we knew they were interacting with us, we could then work on strategies to optimize the conversion rate further. The test results of the live agent versus chat versus guide showed the guide outperformed live agent chat quite significantly. And with a top-of-the-funnel mindset, the click-to-chat approach for chatting with a live agent may have been too intimidating for many of the smartphone users who did not want to get that committed to during their visit to our mobile site. So trying a softer, less intimidating approach with the click to guide of which gym is best for you instead of the click to chat, which was questions chat now, proved to be the better approach. The guide increased interaction rate fivefold. 95% of the guide engagements were fully automated without the customer request and live agent chat assistance. So we didn't tie up any, we tied up very little additional chat agent resources, which was an added bonus that we weren't expecting to see. The conversion rates for those that opened the guide were 133% higher than mobile live chat. And overall mobile conversion went up by 12% after launching the guide on the mobile site. So the test results really demonstrated for us the smartphone shopper has a higher propensity to engage with an assistant solution higher up in the purchase funnel, but an automated one, not a live agent one, was the preference for that smartphone visitor to our website. You know, some of the major benefits that we've seen with it, the largest benefit by far with the mobile engagement program has been an increase in conversion rate. We're able to have meaningful and informative interactions with site visitors that lead to converting shoppers to buyers. As our mobile site traffic continues to increase each year, the higher conversion rate becomes critically important for us. Another benefit that we derived from the engagement program was the higher interaction rate. With having more visitors go through the guide to receive a recommendation, we realized pretty early on that there was a lot of value there. Even if that customer didn't convert to an order, we at least had created a highly qualified lead. In today's omni-channel world, where consumers are moving from device to device, online to offline, the smartphone engagement with our brand can in many cases be their first touch point. So we needed to make the most of that interaction so that the customer was equipped with info they needed to progress along the buying cycle towards a conversion. Another key benefit of the mobile engagement program are the questions and feedback we receive from customers that are captured in the chat transcripts. This information has been invaluable and has allowed us to make ongoing improvements to our mobile website to increase conversions for both the group that interacts with chat as well as the group that does not interact with chat. So, you know, I like to say it's similar to having a focus group of our customers providing us feedback about our mobile site in real time. In terms of getting started with the mobile engagement program, the first step I would recommend is determining mobile engagement that is best for your brand is to evaluate your current mobile strategy. Do you have an effective mobile solution in place, such as a mobile website, an app, or a mobile responsive site? Do you have analytics on how your mobile traffic is currently behaving? Have you taken steps to optimize your mobile solution, understand what moves the needle with your customers? Because we have found the mobile customer reacts differently than the desktop customer, and we've attributed this in part to the device type, screen size, top-of-the-funnel mindset, as well as just a higher potential for distractions on a smartphone. So understanding your brand, your business objectives, and your customer are all key factors in determining what type of mobile engagement solution will be the best fit. If you decide to work with an online engagement partner like we have with Touch Commerce, make sure they understand your business objectives, analyze your data, and your existing sites and your existing mobile structure. Recommend a program that is tailored to your site and customer. An online engagement partner, in my opinion, should continually test and analyze results in an effort to improve that the performance of the program. And you know, we've learned so much about our mobile site and our mobile site visitors from tests, and I can't emphasize this last point enough, just to test, because the preconceived ideas that we had, we've been proven wrong time and time again when it comes to mobile. In closing, we've made significant improvements to our mobile engagement program. Our mobile website has been the cornerstone of that program, along with Touch Commerce. However, we are still learning every day about the mobile channel. We think the mobile opportunity will only continue to grow. So we continue to evaluate our mobile strategy on a regular basis and adjust accordingly. At this point, I'd like to pass things over to Hillary and let her take over from here.
Hi, thanks so much. I'm excited to talk to you all today. I'm Hillary, I'm the Director of Product Management at Ideal. I oversee the customer experience on the main Ideal site and also all of our mobile properties. Ideal is a lifestyle destination. We sell trend, luxury, and essential women's fashion, shoes, accessories, men's attire, and home decor. We're predominantly around an event-driven model, so we curate products into events, which usually start at 12 noon daily. We work with over 3,000 brand partners, and we have more than 820,000 weekly visitors on our desktop, mobile, and tablet properties. We send emails and push notifications about our events to over 8 million people, and our mobile engagement has been very strong, with 55 to 60% of our shoppers engaging with us on mobile. Part of this is due to our native apps, which we began developing starting 4 years ago. We currently have a native iPhone app, native iPad app, and a native Android app in the respective app stores. Ideal is also now part of the Groupon family. We were acquired last year, and Groupon as a whole has a very strong mobile presence. Their app is consistently ranked as one of the top five shopping and lifestyle apps in the App Store. We've had a great response to our apps from our customers. One of my favorite reviews is from a customer who said that her only regret about our apps is that we don't have an app to make her closet bigger. I think it's something we can all identify with, especially if we're fashion junkies. So we started on our app strategy early in 2011 because we saw some interesting trends in the mobile space. So looking back in 2010 and 2011, mobile usage during that time doubled from 24 minutes to 48 minutes, and it's been increasing on a daily basis since then. So last year, U.S. adults spent an average of 2 hours and 51 minutes on mobile. Several years ago, it was widely thought that mobile web would end up dominating the apps in the same way that desktop web dominates apps today. However, 86% of the time spent on mobile ended up being spent in apps. Most of the time was spent playing games, so everyone remembers like Candy Crush and how much time you could spend in that, or time spent in Facebook, similarly addictive. But the use of other types of apps is definitely increasing. If we look specifically at retail, we see that 80% of the time was spent in retail apps, and only 20% of the time was spent on the mobile web. So it's still less time spent in apps as a percentage of whole than gaming, but still more than you see in news sites. It also appears that the use of lifestyle and shopping apps is only a growing trend. So we had shopping and lifestyle as the fastest growing app category in 2014. On our apps, we've seen great adoption and growth as a result of our mobile strategy. We wanted to be thoughtful about it and make sure we earned our spot on our customers' phones. So I'm going to share a little bit about that strategy with you today in the hopes it'll help you figure that out. I have a quick note from Sherry also that my call is breaking up a little bit. Let me just try switching to that. Hopefully this is a little bit better for everyone to hear. So on our mobile strategy, the first part of our strategy was to take a hard look at our budget for development and marketing, particularly around apps. So we wanted to be sure that the return on investment would be there if we decided to develop native apps. Each platform that we've developed for iOS and Android has required a distinct development effort with a distinct team. And in addition to the cost of just the app development and design, we also needed to invest in the underlying infrastructure and API development to support those apps. We found that we needed to shift and change the way our marketing budget was also allocated to support growth in our
app downloads and app usage. In addition to looking at our budget, we also took a careful look at our competitors. So flash sales are naturally suited to mobile because of their time-sensitive nature. If limited time events are starting at noon, our customers want to know exactly when those events are starting and be able to shop them immediately. So for us, it was important to be early to market compared with our direct competitors. So in the case of our Android app, we rolled out a very early version that heavily used our mobile optimized site, basically to have an entry in the App Store and to be able to start building up a customer base early. This allowed us to start with a limited budget, but also be one of the first to market with our Android app. We've since then invested more heavily in Android after seeing that initial usage grow and now have a fully native app. If your competitors do have apps, it's helpful to understand the strengths and weaknesses of those apps, read the reviews in the app stores, and try to look at what you can do better. It's also critical for us to understand our customers and how they were shopping on mobile. So we have a fully mobile responsive website, and this allowed us to look at trends in our customers' usage on mobile. This influenced our strategy as we ended up targeting iOS, particularly iPhone first, and then invested heavily because we saw a high percentage of our customers shopping on iPhones there. We were also able to use our mobile site to see what kinds of products our customers were buying on mobile and also when they were shopping. So this allowed us to make some interesting observations prior to rolling out our apps and helped us to refine our strategy. So one of the things we noticed was that mobile customers often shop on their phones during lunch and then on their tablets in the evening. We found that mobile shopping tended to coincide with personal time. So when people are on breaks for work during the day or maybe when they're relaxing in the evening. We also found that the products that did especially well on mobile were, I'll say, more personal products, such as lingerie. It's the type of thing where nobody wants their boss to see them shopping for lingerie over their shoulder on their desktop while they're in the office. So as part of our app strategy, we started developing app-only events to coincide with peak shopping times and also to promote the types of products that seem to do well with mobile customers. And those app-only sales then helped to drive significant app adoption. Since app usage is often during personal time, we found that people are either on the go or they might be distracted as they're dual screening in the evening with their TVs. So any shopping app needs to be easy and convenient. Easy and convenient for us also meant that our app needed to be incredibly stable. It couldn't crash for more than half a percentage of our customers. It's extremely inconvenient to be in the middle of a shopping session only to have the app crash on you. In addition, a successful app, we found it needed to offer some unique value above and beyond our website. So in our case, this was the exclusive sales like the one we've mentioned before, or the one I mentioned before. It's also additional value through having a very easy checkout process where it's one step, and it's significantly faster than our mobile website. Finally, as our app is competing for attention with addictive games and also apps like Facebook, we felt it needed to be entertaining. So there's a large focus in our app on having really nice imagery and sort of eye candy that people feel entertained while they're looking at it. They can pick up trends that are going on in fashion. One of our goals is to have our app be our customers' go-to when they're bored. We've gotten great feedback on our apps on those three points. Our customers seem to find it valuable on the go, easy to use, and they love the products that they find. One thing we did notice from the app reviews, particularly for shopping apps, is that customers don't really differentiate between the quality of the app experience and the quality of the products they find. So those need to complement each other. Building an app wasn't without its challenges. The investment required can be significant, particularly if you end up targeting multiple platforms. There are a couple of new technologies on the market that can help make development easier, particularly cross-platform development, but they're not yet quite widespread. We have some challenges with releasing, with managing the app release cycle. It can be lengthy, particularly compared to the rapid development cycles we have on our website. Apple can take up to 2 weeks just to review the app. So this would mean that in releasing a new feature, it would be multiple weeks until our customers ended up seeing it. There often tends to be a lag when people upgrade their apps, so some percentage of our customers are still running an older version of the app. Mobile app advertising required integration with different ad partners. It often required a release of new versions of ad technology and custom SDKs. That was a bit of a challenge to create those partnerships. Finally, we needed to make sure that we were earning our space on our customers' phones and tablets by showing that we provided value to them. In a nutshell, we think all of this, though, has been worth it. Our app customers have a higher AOV. They have a higher lifetime value. They're significantly more loyal. We've benefited quite a bit from releasing native apps, and I hope that you guys have benefited from some of our learnings. Thank you. And I will now turn this over to Samantha, who is next up.
Thanks, Hillary. I'm actually a very loyal Ideal customer, and I'm actually waiting for my Adriana Papel dress to arrive any day now.
Oh, fantastic.
So you know you have a fan on this book. love your app experience. Love the one click, and it's like, oh, I purchased it. No chance of changing my mind now, which is fantastic. Hi, everyone. My name is Samantha. I'm Senior Director of E-Commerce and Customer Experience. I am responsible for driving product strategies and roadmap user experience across all of our digital platforms, site merchandising and operations, as well as site optimization and conversion initiatives, including A-B testing and personalization. Just a little bit about BB. First founded by Manny Mushuf. Our first boutique was in San Francisco. The company was founded in 1976, so we've been around for quite a while. We design chic contemporary fashion for the confident, sexy, sophisticated modern woman. We currently have over 200 retail stores in the U.S. and over 100 licensee operated stores globally. Our current BB.com site is a responsive / adaptive site that we launched last summer, and we've seen pretty amazing results from that. So I'll be walking you through what we did and what worked for us. Hopefully those are takeaways for you. And then we also have an iPhone, Android app, as well as a digital catalog. We had a m.bb.com site for quite a while that's managed by a third party. Early last year, we had a conversation internally about, you know, should we do responsive now? Should we, you know, within responsive, do we do full responsive or do we do adaptive? So there were certain things that were definitely not working for us in terms of managing a separate mobile site. There's definitely that lag where we're developing features and functionalities and pushing out changes to a full site first, so the mobile site always comes after we push that full site changes. And then also from a day-to-day update perspective, it's not real-time. It's scheduled updates, I think, every 4 to 6 hours, so there's definitely a lag on a day-to-day basis, and we've had occasional file update issues. The other thing is that the m.bb.com did not have full features and functionalities. I think a big myth is that our old site didn't have a guest checkout, and we do have a pretty good percentage of people who do check out using the guest checkout. And then our Zoom experience on the m.bb.com site wasn't fantastic. Also, the other reason that in general is that if we house all of them under the same vendor and the same platform, there'll be lower maintenance, and obviously you're not managing a separate environment, so there's no separate pushes. It's just the same push, and then it's a lot more cost effective for us. So when we started this project, we had a conversation about do we go full responsive or do we go adaptive? We decided from that conversation that the biggest piece where we needed to shift a lot of focus on is really mobile. Our conversion rate was well below industry average. We weren't even a third of our desktop. It was more like a quarter. So it was important for us to really improve that experience fast. And also, we've seen a pretty significant shift in increase in traffic to mobile, as I think all of you are seeing. So it was critical for us to move pretty fast on this and get the speed to market a lot quicker and have it be more dynamically managed. So overall, we decided to go with adaptive, and we really just have three major breakpoints, desktop, tablet, and smartphone. We decided so it was a 3-month effort, and we actually launched really quickly. It's a lot more cost effective, I think, especially during the QA and UAT process and fixing the bugs, that you're only managing very specific sizes, so you don't have to worry about the outliers. And for us, it solves for the majority. I'm going to show you in the next few slides, I'm going to show you just before and after pictures between our m.bb.com site and our current responsive site to give you a visual of what those changes are and how it's really helped us. So at the same time where we changed to responsive, we also changed our site to a white background from the black background. That's actually a big visual change, and you can tell that it's a lot cleaner and a lot more elegant. Also because it's housed under the same e-commerce platform, it's managed under the same content management system. So it's a lot more easy for our creative team to manage and update these creative images. The next slide, this slide shows you the change that we made to our navigation. It's a lot more aligned from a brand consistency perspective with our desktop, and it's overall a lot more elegant. The next slide is our category browse page. Two changes that we made that were more significant. One was the free shipping over 100 global promotion banner that we have on the site. And also, if you look under dresses, under cocktail, you'll see cocktail and evening with a drop down. We added a subcategory navigation so that the user don't have to go back to the hamburger menu to go to sub-navigation. They can just kind of toggle when they're on this page, and that has really worked for us. The next page is the product page. The biggest change here is that our Zoom experience is so much better than our om.bb.com site. And then, again, it's much more brand consistent, and then we have a persistent add-to-bag button. The biggest change we really made with the responsive site was really our checkout. We know that there's huge upside potential for our cart conversion to be much higher than what we've seen with the m.bb.com. And it really started with the shopping bag page all the way through the checkout funnel. We added a promotion code field to our shopping bag that's consistent with our desktop, and also adding all the subtotals so that, you know, the user knows what their order total is. And again, that's also consistent with what we have on our desktop. The next slide is the billing address. This is the first part of the checkout process. It's and you can tell that just changing it to the white background is so much cleaner and a lot easier to read, more pleasant to the eye. And actually, we've seen that it's also a lot more fluid experience in terms of how you're, you know, entering the characters, and, you know, when you press tab to go to the next one, that overall experience is a lot more fluid. Our old site, I think, was, I don't know if jerky is probably not the right word, but the current site is just a lot more fluid in terms of the going from one step to another. Next page is the shipping. Again, you can see that we've condensed a lot of the information a little bit more so that the user can see more on one screen. They don't have to scroll as much. That's critical in checkout. Obviously, you don't want to overwhelm them. And we also have an accordion-style checkout on our current site right now versus the MDOT where it was a step-by-step process. And so this, I think, is a better experience in terms of the user knowing, oh, okay, I just need to go to payment and review, place order, and it's like it's continuous. So that's actually it just overall, I think the checkout is a lot easier and quicker to go through than our old site. And this slide is the order review page. A big change here is rather than having the multiple items you have in your bag to be stacked, we have a left and right scrollable experience. So then we can push more information to the top, like your subtotal, so that the user, again, doesn't have to scroll as much. And you can also tell that it's a lot more clean compared to the old site, which is overwhelming, and it's especially overwhelming against, I think, the black background. This is our single page checkout. It's super important for us. This page is really, really performs well because it's for our most loyal customers, our repeat customers who have all of their previous information saved. They're going to see this page, and you can see that just overall it's just cleaner, better information architecture in terms of visual, and then a lot more information in one screen versus scrolling. So this has been really really key to us seeing some of the lifts that we've been seeing since we launched the site. So what are some of the results that we've seen? Again, we launched last July. We largely focused on mobile, specifically checkout, to increase the cart conversion. Currently, we have over 70%, I think it's creeping up to closer to 75% of our customers open our email campaigns with their smartphone. And we've just passed around the 50% mark on all of our daily traffic being on a smartphone versus desktop and tablet. And I think if you include tablet, we're around 65 to 70% in the family of mobile. What we've seen with this site versus our old site is that overall mobile conversion increase 2 times compared to the old one. And we're actually a little bit above a third of our desktop. And also our mobile cart conversion increase 122%. So hopefully that was helpful for you, and I'm going to pass it over to Joe to open it up for Q&A.
Great. Thanks, Samantha. As Samantha mentioned, we have a couple minutes here for questions. So if you haven't done so already, you can take this opportunity to submit your questions to our speakers today. You can do that through the question box on your console. So I'll get started with the questions. My first question here is, how, and this can be for anyone on the panel, how do you manage mobile internally at your companies? Is it part of your e-commerce team? Is it an entirely separate unit? Can you talk about internally how your mobile properties are managed?
Sure, this is Samantha. I can answer that. For us, mobile is managed under e-commerce, but we have a separate IT team who's our very close partner in helping us with on the technical side of things and working with our third party.
Okay. We have another question here. This one is directed to you, Samantha, and if Joe or Hillary, you have any thoughts, you can jump in as well. The question, Samantha, is what cues do you have for side-scrolling items in cart? Cues to let the user know.
Well, I wish ideally we have a more fluid left and right swipe. I think the user, especially on the iPhone, is very intuitive. We have the very obvious left arrow and right arrow to go to previous item and the next item. So we haven't, you know, we haven't heard any complaints. It seems to be working, and it enables us to add a lot more information to, again, above the fold, which was important.
And then my next question here, this again could be to anyone. Can you give some examples of some of the A/B tests that you would recommend someone that's launching a mobile optimized site get started with?
Sure, Joe. This is Joe Crowley. You know, some of the A/B tests that we ran were, you know, content-based tests, layout-based tests, to try to get a feel for, you know, a jump. You always pick a jumping-off point, and then once you have customers on the site, you know, how that content and the placement is behaving. So we started pretty early on doing a lot of layout type of testing, different elements on the page, what was above and below the fold in the page, button colors, size of buttons, and things like that. You know, because you're working with such a smaller platform, everything needs to be sized appropriately. But, you know, in some cases you find we can make this button a little bigger, it significantly increases the click-through rate on that button and pushes more people through to the cart.
Okay, I think maybe a lot of the A/B testing we've done on mobile was related to the fact that the real estate is so small, so you want to make sure that the information you're displaying is the most important critical information. So sort of systematically going through and questioning every piece of information, saying, oh, if we hide this, if we hide this, if we hide this, if we hide this, what are the effects of that? And we found some things which we thought were really important actually ended up having no impact on conversion and really cleaned up the experience.
Yeah, and I guess a follow-up to that would be, are you testing that across operating systems, Android versus iOS, some of those content and layout tests?
So we're in the early stages of doing A/B testing on native. It's significantly easier from a technology standpoint to do the A/B testing on our mobile website. We can get a test up and running in a couple of hours if we want. So what we've mostly been doing is taking learnings from mobile web and then applying them to our native apps. And the main challenge with A/B testing in the native apps is related to that release cycle that I talked about a little bit in my presentation, where you get the idea for a particular test, but it's potentially 2 weeks plus until you can actually get that test out in front of some of your customers. We like to move faster than that.
Right. My next question here, and this one, again, could be open to anyone, or the, maybe specific part of it could be Samantha, is some of the ways that you're integrating mobile with some of your other sales channels, and obviously BB with the brick-and-mortar store element to the business. Can you talk about, I guess maybe Samantha, you start with that one, some of the ways you're using mobile with some of your other channels?
Yeah, we're nowhere near where we would like to be, but some of the things that's currently on our roadmap is Beacon. We actually have Beacon enabled on our app. We just haven't had the, you know, the marketing side of it from a resource perspective to really support that. We have geofencing, and there's definitely things that's on our list that hopefully we can implement within the next year as far as, you know, driving traffic to the store and enhancing that in-store experience with our mobile device.
Okay. Well, it looks like we're just about running out of time here, so I want to take this opportunity on behalf of Total Retail and Act On Software to thank everyone again for attending this session. I also want to take the opportunity to thank Joe Crowley, Hillary Spencer, and Samantha Lee for their time and insights. If you're interested in discussing anything that you heard during this presentation, we encourage you to visit the Networking Lounge to chat live with other session attendees. Please also visit the info booth and fill out our show survey to let us know about your experience today. And lastly, if you've missed anything today, the entire virtual show will be archived. The on-demand environment will be available for 3 months starting this coming Thursday. So thanks, everyone, and have a great day.